This message is brought to you by The Lighthouse. For more details, please visit philipepen.com and send your feedback to podcaster@mail.com. What is the goal in your life? What is the one thing that motivates you to live each day or to work the way you do? The way you spend every minute of your life or every dollar that you earn clearly betrays your philosophy of life, your priorities and values. Spend a few minutes with me as I examine the highest pursuit that the Bible offers us. We learned that the kingdom of God is not a political kingdom limited to a certain region on earth. It is a spiritual kingdom open to all people living everywhere. Besides, the kingdom of God is not an earthly kingdom. It is a heavenly kingdom into which only those with immortal, glorified bodies can enter. Yet, Jesus Christ threw open the gates of the kingdom of God to all nations on earth. Anyone who obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ can become a citizen of this heavenly kingdom. Our life on earth is just a pilgrimage. We are headed to our eternal heavenly home, the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now the question I would like to ask is, how many of us Christians are really guided and motivated by this hope of eternity? Do we really believe that our short life on earth is a preparation and prelude to an eternity with God? Alex is a typical Christian young man, riding the wave of success and prosperity. He's out shopping for the latest smartphone. All of his friends had upgraded to the latest models of phones and tablets. Alex doesn't want to be left out in the cold. It was only a year ago that he spent $300 on a good phone. But a year is a long time to keep a phone. None of his friends uses a phone for more than 6 months. That's why he too decided to shell out $700 for the latest high-definition device. And why shouldn't he go for it? After all, he works hard and God keeps blessing him. He has every right to stay on top of the mobile devices revolution. He has every right to stay current and be respected by his friends. Alex is not done yet. He has a shopping list to live for. His eyes are set on a 42-inch LED 3D television, the latest and most sophisticated home theater system, platinum accessories, a sea-facing villa, and a sports car. There's just one life, and Alex wants to live it up. I might wish to ask Alex, Alex, do you plan to live here on earth forever? Don't you believe that God is preparing a heavenly kingdom for you to spend your eternity? And Alex might tell me, of course I believe that God has given me eternal life in Jesus Christ, but I don't think too much about death or about heaven. To be honest, I just want to have fun and enjoy life. If it's not now, then when do we enjoy? It's my life. God has blessed me immensely, and it's only right for me to indulge in every good thing. Alex is not alone. There are probably millions of Christians out there, young and old, male and female, who feel the irresistible urge to live it up. They all chant one slogan in their minds, I have just one life, and I should live it king size. They have no other goal in their lives other than to amass wealth and to pursue comfort, pleasure, popularity, and fame. Seldom do they think about death or about eternal kingdom of God. They are so earthly minded that they end up as paupers in heaven. That is, if at all they reach heaven's shores. If we look around to see the symptoms of this widespread spiritual blindness, we won't have to tire ourselves out. It's all around us. These short-sighted Christians see only their earthly lives. Instead of longing for a heavenly paradise, they crave for an earthly paradise. Instead of storing treasures in heaven, they end up storing treasures on earth. Instead of aiming at God's approval, they live for gaining temporary fame and honor. Instead of sharing the gospel with fellow human beings and snatching sinners out of hellfire, they maintain a deadly silence. They have just one aim, that is to make their earthly lives more comfortable, enjoyable, and secure. Every step that they take, every dollar or rupee that they spend, is towards realizing their dream of setting up their own little heaven on earth. Today, when a Christian young man or a woman chooses a course of study or a career path, what's the deciding factor? Honestly, it's money. We choose the most lucrative jobs for ourselves, and we encourage our children to choose likewise. How many of us choose a career on the basis of eternal rewards that we may receive from God in heaven? Very few. In this globalized world, Christians are increasingly worshipping money and possessions instead of worshipping God. Christian parents pay several millions to buy a seat for their son or daughter in a medical college or in any other school. They are willing to do anything to secure the most lucrative professions for themselves and their children. Deep within, they believe that they've got just one life and they have to live it up. Almost all Christians that I come across tell me that the highest calling is the calling to be a servant of God. They praise people like me for serving God full-time instead of going after any other job. Yet, in the comfort of their homes, while they talk to their children, they portray gospel workers as beggars who live off other people's generosity. They advise their children to go for the most lucrative jobs on earth. No wonder that the number of young people entering full-time Christian ministry in India has dropped drastically over the past 20 years. I would like to ask my young friends, if you think that you need a special divine calling to be a preacher of the gospel, what makes you think that you don't need a divine calling to be a doctor or an engineer or a teacher or a nurse? Why don't you ask God what He wants to do through your life? You did not become a preacher because you believed that God never called you to be a preacher. That's fine. If so, did God call you to be an engineer or a lawyer or a medical doctor? Why didn't you ask God what you should be doing during this brief earthly sojourn? The answer is clear. You never wanted God to mess with your life. What matters ultimately is not the money you earn on earth or the popularity you command. What matters is your standing with God and the treasures you have accumulated in heaven. What has God written about you in His book? Will you wake up one day to an eternity of honor or to an eternity of disgrace? When it comes to how Christian young people in my country choose their life partners, the less said, the better. People get married for all the wrong reasons. Marriage is often seen as a sure way to become rich or to go abroad. Financial and material considerations dominate this area. Who is the richest? Who is the most beautiful? Who is the most powerful? Who can migrate easily to another country? Who can provide me a second income? These are the questions people ask when they choose a life partner instead of asking, whom has God prepared to be my husband or wife? Who will best help me to set up a godly Christian home that glorifies God? It is sad to see even preachers and pastors who have become so spiritually blind or short-sighted. Instead of seeking God's will, they take decisions based on their convenience and comfort. Instead of seeking out the lost at all cost, these ministers seek out ways to increase their wealth, power, and influence. These are the questions they ask. Which is the biggest church that I can pastor? Which church or mission organization offers the highest salary? How can I send my children to the best international school? Under what pretext can I buy a mansion or an estate or raise more money? No wonder the Apostle Paul lamented in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 to 21, about Christians who lost sight of heaven. Paul said, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose behavior shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite, and they brag about shameful things. And all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take these weak mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same mighty power that He will use to conquer everything, everywhere." Dear brothers and sisters, if the only thing you think day and night is about your life on earth, then you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. On the other hand, if you have set your mind on things above, then you are a true Christian. In the third chapter of his epistle to the Colossians, Paul exhorted them, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about the things down here on earth." And this is exactly what Jesus meant when he commanded his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. "Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about what they eat, what they drink, and what they wear? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern." Imagine that you are all set to migrate to a wealthy and prosperous country in a month's time. What would you do during that last month in your country? I am sure you will mentally detach yourself from your land. Your mind will be set on your destination. Instead of buying more immovable property in your own country, you will begin to sell off everything you can't carry with you to your new destination. You will give away some of your possessions to those who need it. If you are able, you will send some of your belongings ahead of you. Your money will be useless to you very soon, so you will exchange it for currency of your new country. Every day, you will spend some time dreaming about your journey and the opportunities that await you. Jesus' words will make more sense to you now. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty, and where they will be safe from thieves. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and your thoughts will also be." The kingdom of heaven certainly holds a lot of surprises. Those whom we think will be most decorated in heaven may not even be there. Those whom we think will be most rewarded in heaven may just manage to scrape through the pearly gates. God may sideline the most successful preachers on earth who live a jet-set life. To some, Jesus might say, "Son or daughter, remember that in your life on earth, you received good things. You received all the praise and adoration. You were richly rewarded on earth for all that you did for me. You went around telling everyone how much money you spent for me. Now, let me honor my servants who worked hard for me without receiving any honor, any salary, or any reward. Their children were hungry while they went to school. Some of them couldn't even send their children to school. Yet they grew up in my ways and remained faithful to me. Honestly, I can't wait to get to heaven for that grand award ceremony. Those who think they are first here on earth will be last, and those who think they are last here might end up first. Indeed, I am reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we all know that one day we will die and depart from this world. If you believe what the Bible says about heaven and all the delights that God has prepared for you, you will surely dream about heaven every day. You will not fear death anymore. Instead, you will certainly long to depart from here and to be with Christ. Every additional day that you have to spend on earth will be a pain. Every morning, you will ask God, "When is my turn to fly to your presence in heaven?" If at all you wish to find some consolation, you will have to think that God has kept you here for another day to lead a few more people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 21 following, "For to me, living is for Christ, and dying is even better. Yet if I live, that means fruitful service for Christ. I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. That would be far better for me, but it is better for you that I live." For the Apostle Paul, the choice was very clear. He desired to depart and be with Christ. Yet, if God extended his life on earth, Paul wished to do just one thing. He wanted to serve Christ. Dear friend, there is only one thing that can make our lives on earth meaningful. That is fruitful service for Christ. We have only one life. What we do for Christ will remain forever. Whether we study or work for someone or do business, our livelihood is not the most important thing. There should be a higher purpose in life than to earn a livelihood and to spend the money. We need to live for Christ and His kingdom. Every day should be a day for rescuing perishing souls. Every moment must be a moment to bring spiritual edification to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Every resource at our command should be placed at the service of Christ. Our houses, our families, our vehicles, our computers, our social networks, our money, all our gadgets and everything that we own must be used for the extension of God's kingdom. When you assign priority to the kingdom of God in your life, God will take care of every need that you face. Don't chase your needs. Chase the kingdom of God. Let the kingdom of God decide your priorities in life, how you spend your time, energy, and money. Death is no more an enemy, because that's our flight to God's presence, to be with God and to rejoin all our beloved ones who went on ahead of us. Let's look forward to heaven and crave to be in God's presence. And each day that we live, let's live as pilgrims. God bless you.
I just wanna be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place,
take me to the place where you are.
'Cause I just want to be, I just want to be. I just want to be, I just want to be with you.
Oh God, that's our prayer. We want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. Oh, that's our prayer. Thank you.